This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
All right. Let's do this.
Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
And thank you for joining us here on a Monday, and a Super Bowl Monday it is, because 56 is all set now. It is going to be the Rams at home at SoFi Stadium against the Cincinnati Bengals. We're going to talk about the AFC and the NFC championship games. Before we do, I want to thank Cole Thompson for filling in for me the last week in the Thursday and Friday show. I was out with COVID, but I'm back and we are ready to go, because yesterday, what a surprising result from the AFC. Now, the NFC, you can make the argument that it was because the Niners have beaten the Rams six straight times, but in the end, you feel like the roulette wheel's got to go black sometime or red sometime after a streak on the other side. But the Bengals not only won this game, which, by the way, wouldn't have been a huge shock if the Bengals had controlled this game or kept up with Kansas City for the whole game, matching touchdown for touchdown, kind of like Buffalo did, and somehow got a lucky bounce at the end or whatnot. But it's coming back from 18 points down on the road against a team that was clicking like the way Kansas City was. We're going to get to the Jekyll and Hyde aspect of Kansas City and what happened to them the moment they had the ball near the goal line and failed to convert that into points, to everything that the Cincinnati Bengals did in the second half to get back into that football game. Because Joe Burrow, America, is now in the Super Bowl. And while last week we spent so much time talking about Josh Allen's and Patrick Mahomes and these two guys and taking the AFC to the next level in terms of quarterback, here's Joe Burrow once again doing what Joe Burrow has done for the last couple of years, which is play that position exceptionally well enough to keep winning. He did it at LSU. Then he was stopped because of an injury. And now he's got the Cincinnati Bengals in the Super Bowl for the first time since the 1988 season. And he did it by coming back from 18 points down to win that game. And not only that, all the credit in the world to the defense, because what Buffalo could not do a week ago, which was just get a stop, the Bengals not only got a stop, they got multiple stops, including one in overtime, in which they intercepted Mahomes to set up the 31-yard field goal by Evan McPherson. Everybody in Cincinnati land is cool, but we'll talk how they did this. Plus, we'll get into the Rams, and now they're going to the Super Bowl because all their chips are right in the center of the table. We'll continue. It's Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us as we continue. It is Wake Up Call. All right, so the Rams and the Bengals will make up Super Bowl 56, and, you know, raise your hand if you had that one at the beginning of the playoffs, especially Cincinnati. The Rams, you could make the case, they had a lot. I mean, again, we keep saying this about the Rams. They have all their chips in. I mean, they've mortgaged everything to get to this point. So while they, you know, the landscape for the Rams can, you know, at the beginning of the postseason was, all right, you got to go beat Brady and you may have to go play Rodgers, and that's tough. The Rams were one of the better teams in the NFC, so that didn't seem surprising. But think about Cincinnati for a second. I mean, the Bengals were a team that, you know, somebody had to win the North, and the Bengals won the North. But the Bengals were a team that was always hot and always cold. I mean, it was just one of those seasons where they would look really good, then they weren't looking that good, and then they were looking good, and then they weren't looking that good. And they went back and forth. I mean, so many times this season I said, this is one of those dangerous Bengals team I have seen in a long time. As a Steeler fan, this is one of their division rivals. I've seen them with Carson Palmer. I've seen them with Andy Dalton. I remember them with Boomer Esiason. And this looks like the most dangerous football team I've seen in a while. Then they would let me down and lose in a way that made you go, oh, yeah, maybe they're not as dangerous as I thought. And when they entered the postseason, they were playing the Raiders. And the Raiders were coming off that emotional win against the Chargers to get into the playoffs. And I thought, all right, the Bengals should win at home. But I didn't think they would win against the Titans. And then they beat the Titans. When Joe Burrow was sacked 9 times, they beat the Titans. And they did so by getting key turnovers and dropping a beautiful pass to Ja'Marr Chase to set up a field goal to have the most cockiest kicker we've ever seen in the NFL in Evan McPherson. And then they went to Kansas City and was kind of the same thing, right? Well, you're playing a football team that came off one of the greatest playoff games ever and went back and forth, toe-to-toe with Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills. They're at home. They are a much different team that started the season when everybody kind of was picking on them and saying there's something wrong. And the Bengals were pointing to this one win, right? Well, they were up by double digits against us at home, and we fought our way back, and we won that game. And I went, yeah, well, this is the postseason, and this is at Arrowhead. And then this game got out of hand really quick. It was 21-3. Kansas City scored on their first three possessions of the game. Since I almost felt sorry for Cincinnati. It looked like it was just going to be one of those big playoff losses, you know, that just this game just gets to be a rout. There's nothing the Bengals can do. And then we'll be spending a lot of time in the second half talking about the upside of this Cincinnati team, right, as they prepare for next season. This might not be their year, but next season, yeah, this is an up-and-coming football team as the Chiefs score again, and it's 37-10. That's not what happened. I don't know how the Bengals decided at what point they were going to go, you know what, we're going to drop more guys into coverage. We're getting so toasted. Patrick Mahomes had three touchdown passes to three different receivers and was making it look ridiculously silly again. That video game-esque of Patrick Mahomes was just out there for everyone to just marvel at. It was his day. And then the Bengals said, it's not your day anymore. And all of a sudden, the Chiefs were punting. And the Chiefs were turning the ball over. But here is the key. It started at the end of the first half. The Bengals were getting toasted again as, I think it was set up by an interception, and they were going down the field. And Mahomes had him down at the goal line. There was a pass interference call down at the goal line. And the Chiefs couldn't score a touchdown. And with no timeouts, they got greedy. Instead of kicking a field goal and just getting the 3 points and saying, all right, you know what? Now they got a little bit of us here, but we're still getting points. And we're going to go into the locker room. We're going to go in the locker room. We're going to go get points. It wasn't a touchdown. They went for the kill shot, and they failed. And they didn't get into the end zone. In fact, the play was ridiculous. It was a swing pass. And Tyreek Hill was met by two defenders just waiting for him. And he didn't get in. And so the Bengals had momentum because they made a big stop, a real big stop. P. Ryan had scored the touchdown. They stopped the Chiefs on the ensuing drive. The Chiefs got no points. And then in the second half, they scored 18. They got right back into it. And I was floored by the difference between the two football teams. Floored. And now the Bengals are going to the Super Bowl. And the Bengals are going to the Super Bowl because they did what Buffalo could not do. We spent all last week talking about this overtime and how awful it is. And now you win the toss and you can just march down the field and score a touchdown and the game is over. And it's a shame that Josh Allen couldn't get the ball again. Well, awful. And the Bengals went, no, if you stop the other team, you get a chance to just win it on a field goal. So you know what? We'll just do that. And that's what they did. They forced Mahomes into a number of incompletions until he finally threw the ball deep. And then it was as Bates, the defender, went up and tipped the ball, just reached his hand in to tip the ball. It was intercepted. And it set up the Bengals, who drove down the field. And all you need is just a little bit of yardage, but they got him a lot more for Evan McPherson to knock it through. And the most confident kicker in the game, the looks like we're going to the AFC Championship, became looks like we're going to the Super Bowl. And he nails a 31-yard field goal, and the Chiefs are going home.
Do you think he said it again?
The Bengals are going. I wonder if he did.
I'm hoping he did.
I kind of hope he did.
I had turned to my son because we were watching the game, and I said, God, I hope he turned to his holder and went, looks like we're going to the Super Bowl.
Right. I loved it.
I love the arrogance in him.
I loved it. I loved it because what I loved about it was that his jersey sold out, and now he's a folk hero.
Yeah.
But he got to do it again. He's 12 for 12 in the playoffs with kicks. This guy just doesn't miss.
Now, I don't know this because I know you saw this tweet floating around all over the place. That's why you draft a kicker.
Right, yeah.
I don't know about that.
I don't know about that.
But, you know, I mean, because it always reminds me of, I've already forgotten the Buccaneers when they drafted that kicker.
Right.
I can't remember his name, who was supposed to be lights out, and, you know, he flamed out instead. Like, that's a risky move to draft a kicker.
You don't need to, right? You really don't need to. Like, there are so many guys out there that you just bring in. Like, your kicker stinks. You're just like, well, let's find another guy.
If you filled all the holes you need, maybe you do it in the seventh round.
Sure.
Why
sure.
not?
Yeah. Like, you see this all the time. Like, we're looking for a new kicker, and they've got, like, 15 NFL experienced guys that are looking for jobs. So, now, we're going to talk a little bit about this coming up, but just initially here. We're going to concentrate on the winners, but the losers have to be talked about as well, right? This Kansas City organization, they just don't lose playoff games. They go down in ways that are just inexplicable. Think about them in the last decade. A lot of these are before the Mahomes era, right? Remember they had that huge lead in Indianapolis against Andrew Luck and the Colts? Like, I want to say about 7-8 years ago with Alex Smith, lost. The Steelers beat them in the postseason a couple years ago. Steelers didn't even score a touchdown. They kicked like 6 field goals and won the game. When Kansas City goes down, they go down hard. They had that AFC Championship game against the New England Patriots. Dee Ford goes offsides. It set them up for, obviously, the next season where they won the Super Bowl. They were held to just 3 field goals in their loss to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And now this, one of the biggest choke jobs in NFL history in the postseason, up 18 points, and you don't close the deal. You're up 21-3 in the second quarter, and you don't close the deal. You let Cincinnati score, I want to say there was about 20 unanswered points, 21 unanswered points, something along those lines. I'm going to do the math real quick. Yeah, 14 because it was a 2-point conversion. So 14 unanswered points that gave them the lead before the Chiefs scored a field goal. And by the way, that field goal that Harrison Buckner kicked through, they were the only points they scored in the second half.
Think about
what they did in the final 2 minutes of the game against Buffalo.
I didn't really know Bengals had that good of a defense.
They dropped 8 guys back most of the second half and just kept everything in check. Confused. How many times did Patrick Mahomes running, can't find anybody, running, can't find anybody, and then finally trying to make something happen and got nowhere?
Yeah. I mean, the key to their success was, hey, give Patrick Mahomes all the time he needs.
Right.
That's literally what it was. And we'll just keep everything covered.
Jim Nance called one particular play in the second half where Mahomes had the ball and he was scrambling and the pressure was coming and he got broke through a pressure and Nance and Romo were ready to go crazy on one of those other, oh, look at this, Jim! Oh, my God, Jim! Oh, look at that, Jim! And he ran, and then he got tackled, and Nance said, and for no gain. Like Nance made the quick point. All of this extra stuff, all of this fun, it led to nothing. The Bengals, they got no yards, not 1 yard out of this thing, out of this scrambling all over the place, because the Bengals' coverage was so good. And that is something we just didn't see. We didn't see that until the Super Bowl. Like, we saw that last year in the Super Bowl when the Buccaneers did the same thing. The Buccaneers made Patrick Mahomes scramble for 500 yards in that game and kept him out of the end zone. And the Bengals kept that team out of the end zone when Mecole Hardman scored with 5 minutes left to go in the second quarter. That was the last touchdown Kansas City scored for this season. That was it. It was all Cincinnati after that. All right, we'll get to the Rams and the 49ers game. We'll get more on the thoughts of the AFC and NFC championships and, of course, the Super Bowl. And will he or won't he retire Tom Brady? That news this weekend that has not been confirmed and not been official. We'll talk about that as we continue. It's Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
As we continue, it's Wake Up Call Sports Map Radio. Thanks again to Cole Thompson, who filled in for me for 2 days last week. I was out with the COVID. Got it Wednesday. I was out with a friend of mine for a cup of coffee. I think I got it there, but my wife said, you could have got it anywhere. So don't be blaming the barista or anybody else at the coffee shop.
I'd blame the barista.
Why not? Shouldn't I?
Did they misspell your name too?
No, they did not. But they gave me COVID, and that's just as bad. And I felt absolutely terrible on Wednesday. I did the show, and I remember complaining to you.
Yeah.
On Wednesday, I was like, I feel like crap. I can't wait for the show to be over. And I normally don't. I could do hours of this, but I was like, I'm done. As soon as the show's over, I'm out. I gotta go lay down. I'm not feeling good at all. I felt like I got hit by a truck. And then Wednesday, Thursday, I was really out. I was bad. I was like, get away from me. All by myself, quarantined. And then I started going stir crazy. As it started getting better, I started going stir crazy this whole weekend. Thank God I had these football games on Sunday. I would have lost my mind. If I got COVID this week and I had nothing on Sunday, I would have lost it. I was tired of movies. I was tired of TV shows. I was reading. I was doing research. I was pacing. I was stretching. I was like, I was so bored. I couldn't handle it.
People leaving food for you outside your door?
Yeah, my wife would leave food. She goes, so, that's just food.
Now you know how Novak felt.
Yeah, right?
Being in quarantine jail down under.
Exactly. So I
were
had,
you in a windowless cell? Because that's how I know we like to picture Novak.
Well, I wanted to be like Novak. In a window. I had my son's bedroom. I got a hold of that and got my pillows, all the stuff that I want in there. And then I have a bonus room above our garage I turned into a media room. So I had that. I got to keep that. That was kind of cool. That was at least mine. My wife and daughter like to go in there to watch movies, but I at least I had that as part of the quarantine.
So you got that in the deal?
I got that as part of the deal. I'm like, you guys get all the downstairs, the bedroom, obviously my daughter's room. That's it. I get these two rooms, and then I just jaunt off to the bathroom real quick. That was it. That's what it was like for 5 days.
I'd have gone crazy.
It's nuts. It's absolutely. It was. And then I'm just going to say this. I think young people, I really get it when I hear young people say, hey, man, I just want to, what can I invest in at a young age so that I can retire at 30? And you go, well, what do you want to do in retirement? I want to be on a beach sipping a margarita. You're like, yes, but then what do you want to do the next day? Right? What are you going to do the next week? You're not going to do that every day. If you had said to me, there have been times in my life where I've been so busy with different projects. If you had said to me, hey, how would you like to spend 5 days doing nothing but sit in that room, watch as many movies or TVs as you want, and somebody will bring you food constantly, I would have taken it in a heartbeat. Then I got it, and I could not mentally stand it. I could not stand it.
No,
I would watch a movie.
That's very real. I mean,
absolutely.
I remember the unemployment part, too. If you've ever been unemployed, at first you're like, oh, well, this is great. I got severance. I got this. I got all the time in the world to better myself.
Yep.
And then a week into it, you're like, okay, this is terrible. Yep. I'm bored.
It's totally awful. I mean, I would watch a movie, settle in and start a movie, and then halfway through the movie go, I'm restless. I was like, I can't sit and watch this anymore. I got to get up. I got to walk around. Like, I was losing. I was like, how many of these can I watch today? Like, I can't do anything. So that's my little soapbox on that. So yesterday, I was grateful that I had two AFC, an AFC and NFC championship game. I watched more college basketball, I think, in 5 days than I've ever watched outside of the tournament. So we got the Chiefs and the Bengals as the Bengals are going to the Super Bowl. And now the Rams are going to the Super Bowl. And here's the thing about the Rams, and I said this earlier. if you had picked the Rams at the very beginning of this, you wouldn't have been wrong, right? Like, if you had picked the Bengals to win this, to go to the Super Bowl out of everybody in the AFC, I would have said, yeah, good luck. Like, they're not quite ready. They're not quite there. Like, they're a good football team, and thanks, Bengals, for the great performances. And Joe Burrow, you are on the rise. But they're not one of those elite football teams. Like, Kansas City was elite, or Buffalo was elite, or even you could make the argument Tennessee was elite. But they went through the tournament, and they now won it. But at the beginning of this, if you had picked the Rams, if you had said, you know what, the Rams are too good. Matt Stafford may be struggling with the turnovers, but if he shores that up, they've got Cooper Kupp, most dynamic wide receiver in the game. They've got a defense with big names on it. They got Odell Beckham, who's a weapon as well. They can run the ball. They got a smart coach. You wouldn't be laughed at. Nobody would have thought that prediction was insane. And yet, and here we are, the Rams are all in. Everything that organization said that they were going to do with their draft picks was only for this, to get this team into the Super Bowl and win it. And now they're a game away from having it all pay off. And they did so against a 49er team that had their number. Six straight is not a luck. That means you're designing schemes that is just in ways beating that football team that you meet twice a year. You're finding ways to do it. There are matchups that are in your favor, right? Beating a team six straight times really does mean you have the personnel. You have the right things working for you. And the Rams had to overcome that. And they were trailing by 10 in this game. But the 49ers have a quarterback in Jimmy Garoppolo that they weren't behind 100% other than he was playing. They were riding him to the end. But when push came to shove, he couldn't deliver the one thing that they needed. There are times in this sport, in this game, it's 11 on 11, and there's a defense on the other side. But a lot of times we make this about quarterback matchups. And that's really kind of unfair to the sport. It's very similar when we talk about pitchers, right? It's going to be Max Scherzer against Justin Verlander or whatever. It's not really that. Right? It's my chief guy against what you do and your chief guy against what we do. And it's similar here. This wasn't Stafford versus Garoppolo. This was Jimmy Garoppolo against that Rams defense and then Matt Stafford against the 49ers defense. And when the Rams kicked the field goal that put them up 20-17 and the 49ers got the ball back, all they needed to do was go down the field to kick a field goal to tie this game and then let the chips fall where they may in overtime. And Garoppolo wasn't capable of doing that. And the last throw that he threw, trying to avoid a sack on third and long, that was intercepted easily, is the last throw he is going to make for this football team. There was too much given up to get Trey Lance. And they got Trey Lance for a reason. Because unlike other quarterbacks in this league, the 49ers are going to need somebody that is going to say, I've got this. Thanks, defense, for doing this. Thanks, offense, for doing this. Thanks, play calling, to allow this guy, Deebo Samuel in particular, to do what he does. But eventually you're going to need me to do something. And here's the key. Jimmy Garoppolo had a pretty good game. Right? Threw for 230, had two touchdowns. But when they needed him the most, he wasn't the quarterback that they needed. He was the quarterback that was going to hurt them. And by the way, the Niners hurt themselves on they had a dropped interception in the fourth quarter. So the Rams pushing all their chips in, saying, look, we're going to give up all the picks for all of this talent, is paying off. Right now, it's paying off. The Niners are going into next season with Trey Lance as their quarterback. All right, we'll continue to talk about Super Bowl 56 as we roll along on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. It's Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio.
listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us again. Super Bowl 56, 2 weeks. 2 weeks of hype. Can you handle the Bengals and the Rams getting buzzed about
Are we going to get Joe Burrow burnout?
That could happen. That could happen. Just when you thought we were falling in love with him as a country, we could get really sick and tired of this.
Is he the next hated quarterback? Is he the next Tom Brady? Now we're just going to hate him?
Exactly. Yeah, that's true. Good point. So remember when I talked about Joe Burrow being the Robert Johnson of quarterbacks? I had explained that analogy to my wife this weekend. I said, all right, Robert Johnson was this blues guitarist. Legend has it, you know, about a century ago that people knew him, knew he couldn't play a lick, wasn't a musician, wasn't very good. And then out of nowhere, he disappeared. And the legend had it that he went to the crossroads, made a deal with the devil, came back, and he was one of the greatest blues musicians of all time. Still to this day. I said, Joe Burrow, same thing. This guy couldn't beat out Dwayne Haskins at Ohio State. Now, Dwayne Haskins had a good college career, so I shouldn't say that so flippantly, like Dwayne Haskins was some sort of, you know, not very good quarterback. He was a good quarterback. But he couldn't beat out Dwayne Haskins, and he was, like, left out there in the cold. And how did this happen? How did this happen that this kid goes to LSU, and now he's on the verge of being one of the greatest young quarterbacks of all time? I mean, a national championship and a possible Super Bowl championship in what, a 3-year window? And that's insane. That is really crazy. And he is doing it by this cool persona. Nothing seems to faze him. Like I was saying, at one point in that game against the Chiefs, I was starting to feel really bad for the Bengals. Like, wow, this is ending, and this is ending badly. It is 21-3, and you can't stop this machine that is going to keep scoring and scoring and scoring and scoring for the rest of the game. I had no idea that they were going to be done scoring midway through the second quarter, that was it for Kansas City. Imagine if you came up with that bet midway through that game. After Mecole Hardman scored and you went, I bet you they don't get another touchdown for the rest of the game and are held to just a field goal. And a field goal at the end. You would have won every bet you take, and you would have taken all of them. Everyone would have come your way. It was that easy. And now they're back in this, and the Bengals haven't been in the Super Bowl since 1988. You wonder how long ago that was? I was reminiscing about this because I have this uncanny ability of knowing where I was with every Super Bowl I've ever been to. Every Super Bowl since Super Bowl 14, I remember where I was watching the game and who I was with. I was in high school, and a friend of mine had a Super Bowl party at his house. A bunch of us guys went over there. And this is how old I remember that Super Bowl being. The start of Bud Bowl. Do you remember Bud Bowl?
Yes.
That was the Super Bowl, if I'm not mistaken. That was the
Super
Bowl.
Was that the start of Bud Bowl?
That started Bud Bowl, Super Bowl 23. And then it started to get really advanced. Right? If I'm not mistaken, I might be wrong, but it felt like we were all marveling over this Bud Bowl thing. I remember we were going crazy over one particular commercial. I think it was Bud Bowl. Nevertheless, that was Montana to John Taylor. That was the last time the Bengals were in the Super Bowl. The last time the Rams were in the Super Bowl was just a couple of years ago. Jared Goff, remember that? And that defensive, boring Super Bowl 53?
I've already forgotten it.
I've already forgotten it.
I'm not even going to remember who won.
Exactly. Me either. I'm no interest in that. That's one of the most forgettable Super Bowls, I think,
Unless
you're a Patriots fan.
Yeah. I think the Patriots will forget that one,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, because it was just blech. So it was so
bad. Was it 13-9 or
13-6
or whatever? It was just god-awful.
It was really boring. I mean, it was like, I don't mind defensive struggles, but that Super Bowl was atrocious. Yeah, that was a 13-3.
13-3?
Final score. I just looked it up. 13-3.
I knew it was something just... I mean, I'm not wanting, you know, 40s and 30s. You know, I don't want the high scoring games. I mean, I love the games that we had this weekend.
Back and forth.
I mean, it wasn't a tremendous amount of scoring. We don't need Bills Chiefs every single time we go out there. But I don't know. It was just – I just – that game, all I really remember from that game was I literally did want to pay more attention to the commercials.
Right. Completely. Completely. Now, here's – I'm gonna say this because I've been through what I'm about to tell you in Denver years ago when the team was really struggling at the quarterback position and Tim Tebow was going to emerge and be kind of a postseason hero. But there was a period of time – in 2011, that season, where it was Kyle Orton and then it was Tim Tebow, and the Broncos didn't have a quarterback and were struggling to find their quarterback, and this would be before Manning arrived. And Andrew Luck was coming out of the draft, right? Andrew Luck was the surefire number one pick, can't-miss prospect, superstar in the making quarterback. And I remember having, like, debates with people about suck for Luck is what people called it. Which is just lose games. Get the first round pick. Get Andrew Luck and be done with this. Give up a year and get Andrew Luck. And I said, you know, it's really difficult to do that. It's not easy. You're an organization. You have to play hard every single time to win. You've got players on your team that don't care about who the quarterback of the Broncos are going to be because they're not going to probably be on the Broncos down the road. They're going to constantly play hard because if you have a reputation of not playing hard, you cannot get a job in this league. So it's very difficult for 53 guys to go, hey, let's win, let's lose for the organization because most of them won't be around for the organization. And they don't care. They don't care about the owner getting the franchise quarterback. Right? They're going to want to win. And not only they win by playing hard. They win by doing their job all the time. So I said, listen, guys, this is kind of a pipe dream. Organizations don't do this. This is not the way they're built. That being said, and I still believe that, look at what the Cincinnati Bengals have done just by being lousy a couple of years ago. Look at where they are right now. They are in the Super Bowl. Right? Think about where Buffalo was before they got Josh Allen. Think about the way, again, if you're an organization that gets your quarterback right, a young quarterback that you've got and you've landed it, think about what it can do for you and how it changes everything. Good luck. Again, good luck to any team in the AFC that doesn't have a quarterback. Good luck. If you don't have a solid quarterback, you are doomed. It's not impossible, but you are doomed. Because what you got with, you got these two teams that got their quarterbacks in two totally different ways. You've got the Rams, which a couple of years ago were in the Super Bowl with Jared Goff, but they decided at some point they could not get to any more Super Bowls with him. And they went and traded for Matt Stafford. You do not see this very often. You do not see good quality quarterbacks available via trade. And that the Rams found a way to get their quarterback that way. And then the Cincinnati Bengals, who were lousy enough to get the number one overall pick and now have landed a guy that should put them in this position to compete for a Super Bowl for years and years, just like Buffalo has with Josh Allen and just like the Chiefs had with Patrick Mahomes. Now, in the Chiefs situation, it was different. They were going to playoffs. They were going with Alex Smith consistently. They just didn't have that extra level, and there was something that they liked in Patrick Mahomes so much that they had to move heaven and earth to get him. Right? They had to go get him. But it's not crazy to be a fan and to say, I'll give up a year if I could get that guy, if I can get that player. And it's you're watching the AFC. It is absolutely going to be fascinating how this plays out over the next couple of years, especially if the Jacksonville Jaguars figure out Trevor Lawrence. Get a team around Trevor Lawrence. Get the right head coach and the right development. Because that is the Andrew Luck. That is the guy that is like Andrew Luck. We may see it. We may never see it. Who knows? But if you're a football team in the AFC right now and you're struggling figuring out where your quarterback is and who your quarterback's going to be, you've got three of the best in that conference. And there's Justin Herbert's coming up. There's more coming up.
Yeah. No, I mean, we've been saying it for the last 2 weeks now.
Right.
The AFC quarterback, I mean, it's an embarrassment of riches at this point.
Exactly.
Because there are too many good quarterbacks in this league. And to think that, you know, I mean, if Patrick Mahomes got the best of Burrow yesterday, we might be sitting here going, like, well, you know, I mean, that's the king of the mountain right now. That's right. Who you need. That's who you're trying to topple. But now that Burrow has climbed that mountain and toppled him, I mean, yeah, you have to put him in the conversation as the top three.
Well, you know what? I told you about my friend who's a big Buffalo Bills fan, and I remember after they lost, I said, oh, don't worry. I think the Bills are going, you know, I was just being nice. I got no idea. It is now a roulette wheel of young quarterback fun in that conference.
Yep.
I have no idea if the Bills will ever go to a Super Bowl. Maybe they'll go to four. Maybe they'll go to one. Maybe they'll go to zero.
Are you saying maybe they'll go to four straight?
Right.
And lose a ball?
But here's a point I want you to consider. Nathaniel Hackett was hired to be the head coach of the Denver Broncos. And Aaron Rodgers has been connected to the Denver Broncos. Aaron Rodgers was connected on draft day to Denver. Denver was going to put a package together, and Green Bay was like, we're not getting rid of him, so shut up. And now there's been more speculation that Rodgers will land in Denver. And because, again, my connection to the city, and I follow a lot of guys on Twitter that they're still there, there's even more buzz now that Rodgers will be a Bronco. And everybody's kind of excited, and they're making their memes and their pictures of Aaron Rodgers and a Bronco. If you're Aaron Rodgers, do you want this for the next couple of years?
Not only that, but, I mean, even if you're the Broncos, I mean, that's, I think, you know, great. You know, you got a good year, maybe two. But that's a Band-Aid.
And there's nothing guaranteed.
Yeah, there's nothing guaranteed. I mean, Rodgers, how many Super Bowls has he been to?
Right. Right. I mean, look, if I'm a Bronco fan, okay, do I want Rodgers? Sure, I'll take him. He's better than what I've got right now.
Right.
And you need a quarterback and a fighting chance. So I understand. In order to beat, look. I hate to keep using this as a cliche, but in order to go to the Super Bowl, you got to be in the tournament, right? You got to be in the playoffs. And so if you're the Broncos and you haven't been to the playoffs since you won the Super Bowl, absolutely get Aaron Rodgers and at least try to get in. And when you get in, anything can happen. But if you're Rodgers, why would you mess with that? It's not an admission of I'm not, you know, I want to compete. That's fine. You can compete. Go after these guys. Be the 39-year-old quarterback, 40-year-old quarterback, 41-year-old quarterback over the next couple of years that is competing against the young guys. That's fine. But strategically, you want the best path to get to the Super Bowl. And why isn't that best path through the NFC? Why isn't it through the NFC? If the story is true that Brady's retired, that's one more thing. Sean Payton isn't going to work any magic in New Orleans. That NFC South is going to be trash. Find me the team that's going to come out of that now if Brady's retired. The NFC North, the division Rodgers in, he's got Minnesota that's a disaster. He's got Detroit that's rebuilding. He's going to have a team in the Bears that's going to have a second-year quarterback and a new head coach. That is a cakewalk to another division. Why would you mess with the AFC if you don't have to, other than to get out of town? If that's what you want to do, good luck. Go ahead. But do I want Herbert, Mahomes, Allen, Burrow, Lawrence, if he gets better? Do I want that for the next 3 years? Is Father Time is knocking on my door asking me to step outside? I wouldn't want any part of that. None of that. Plus, the Titans with Derrick Henry, I wouldn't want any part of any of those teams if I had to navigate through that conference as a 38, 39-year-old quarterback when the strategic play to get another Super Bowl ring is to stay in the NFC. Stay right where you are. All right, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's as we continue on Wake Up Call.
This is Wake Up Call. SportsMap Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Hour two coming up. We've got the good, the bad, and the dumb. Jared Dubin is going to join us, right, in hour two?
Hour two.
We'll talk to Jared Dubin about the games yesterday and the Super Bowl. That's in 2 weeks. I love all the Pro Bowl announcements that came once teams lost. They'd be like, okay, now these guys are going to the Pro Bowl. It's like, yeah, okay. Who cares? I'm sorry.
At the same time, are you like, I doubt it?
I doubt it.
Yeah.
I'm telling you right now.
Any of the Chiefs go to the Pro Bowl, it's because it's their first time ever.
Oh, God. I know. It's the worst of the All-Star games, is it not?
It's become.
It really is.
I mean, just.
There's nothing about it that makes you go, oh. Like, NBA All-Star weekend is fun. It's just a festival of basketball. It's kind of a fun game. It's nobody plays defense, but it's kind of neat. They laugh, they joke around, have a good time. It's basketball.
It's the NBA version of Harlem Globetrotters.
Right, yeah, exactly.
It's entertaining.
Final score is like 165 to 162.
So yeah. And even baseball's all-star game itself. I mean, there's tradition, there's history, but the game itself can be fun to watch.
It can be fun, yeah, exactly. I don't need anything attached to it. I just want to watch the players play. Football, it's like they play 17 games, you know, 16
now.
Back in the day. And then they go, play one more for nothing. You know, just go out there and for no value at all. And then they go, no. And then we go, please. And they go, all right. And then we go, oh, I wish you kind of hadn't. You know? It's just not good.
The thing I have a problem with is the last good tackle was Sean Taylor's.
Right. Yeah, exactly. I just liked it. Look, I know they've been moving it, and now they got it before the Super Bowl. I liked it when it was at the end of the season and was in Hawaii. It felt like it was just a little bit more of – it was kind of cool to see and – yeah, everyone goes to Hawaii, and it's sunny, and it's warm in the middle of the winter. It's kind of cool. Now it's like, ugh, it's not, you know, you're giving me, it's not even an appetizer for the Super Bowl. It's like an obstacle. The Pro Bowl is no fun. I wish it was.